Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. We were here a little over a year ago. I'll reference when we came to this scripture before, thinking about how to use our time while we were restricted, particularly at that time with the oncoming of COVID and the reactions to it. We're able to be back together. There's been a lot of time since then, but just a reminder, we were at this text a little while ago, and I have a similar title for you, but I'll explain the slight difference. And in this case, it's a topical sermon again, thinking about the use of our time from a little bit of a different perspective. But as I considered different scriptures to go to, this just seemed to be the right one to go to. Colossians has a similar parallel scripture, but decided to come to this. Hear now the word of the Lord, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me read that once more for us. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And in particular, we're focusing tonight on verse 16, the first part, redeeming the time. May we be about redeeming the time, our time, at this time. And I'll be sharing about this, thinking about this with you in relation to a certain idea that kind of came to mind this week that I thought would be helpful as we face the new year together. Well, this Friday, Elder Renner and I, we had a great meeting with the Clemente family, with Minuteman Press. The wife, Elaine's father, prints the Westminster Standards and their commentaries in Portuguese in Brazil. She's the lady that met with us just before I went to Boston to meet Fernanda and bring those books with us. It was really amazing. It turns out I remember Fernanda said, I was saying, look, I can't read this website. Can you look at it and I'll pay and order the books? And she said to me later in a message, I can't believe it. You're not going to believe this. She lives in San Diego. And her mother's coming from Brazil soon, and she can bring them. That's what happened. Mother got right off the plane. We met at the Embarcadero and bought the books. I went to Boston like another week later. And I remember Fernanda said, well, she typed. She wouldn't talk to me until I came to Boston in audio format. She typed and said, I'm getting goosebumps or shivers or something like that. This is scary. I'm scared. Because it just seemed to be of the Lord, as we know that it is. And we had a wonderful meeting with them this week because, as you know, we have a little bit extra resources. And now that we have a new logo and a new name and all these things, we want to try to get new stationery to reflect that. We've got the new sign you've just seen recently. In fact, they recommended the company we had the sign done from as well. They don't do that. Spent a lot of time looking through options for stationery, shirts, cups, masks, mailings. We learned we can do some really targeted mailings through the post office through them, calendars, business cards, decals that can go on the back car of your window or on your coffee cup or your water bottle, those kinds of things. It was pretty exciting. We kept saying, okay, we got to go. We got to go. It was kind of like in the candy store. We got to get out of here. We're going to buy everything. You know. So, and mind you, we're going to get a list of things, quotes, and we'll have to decide what to do. And some things may have to wait. But I was thinking about it. We spent a lot of time there. And Mr. Renner spent a lot of time there. And I was thinking about how we've been doing a lot of this kind of thing this year for our new name, work with the government, efforts with our new presbytery, our new logo, our new website, advertising, lawyer consultations, state applications, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's been so much extra work that it's made it necessary to give less time to other important things that feel more urgent but can wait more than these things if we're going to do these things right and if we're going to do them at the right time. There's just no putting them off, even though other things feel so urgent and can be kind of stressful. And I found that comforting, actually, to think about. These things need to be done, and they need to be done right. And as I was thinking about it, I remembered back to my spiritual development class in seminary where we were required, among other things, to read a little booklet called The Tyranny of the Urgent. The Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles E. Hummel. Now, I didn't have time to find it in my library. It kind of hides between all the big stuff, assuming I still have it. I found it online, Kindle, got it real cheap on Amazon. You can do that. But I did notice there's another thing that's longer called freedom from the tyranny of the urgent. I suspect that's probably what we read in class, and that if you're interested to look into it, there's a little bit of a longer work, but it would still be a smaller booklet form. But I'm going to share with you from the original and the smaller booklet, Tyranny of the Urgent. Tyranny of the Urgent. And I comforted myself as I thought about, oof, boy, this week, once again, wasn't quite what I was thinking I was going to have for a certain time. We just had so much busy things to do, including I needed to put the dot on the www.puritanchurch.com on the sign that left the dot off. Following up with that, you know, there's just these things we have to get all settled, and it takes time. But I comfort myself thinking about this issue of the tyranny of the urgent. Because it was helpful to remember that often things that matter most take dedicated time for which other normal demands will just have to wait. It's kind of been the year of having to figure out how to get stuff done and not worry about the tyranny of the urgent. Other things can get done, especially, as you know, with two jobs now, both very writing intensive. It takes a lot of time and energy to research and to think and to focus. And frankly, I haven't pulled off getting the hours I'm supposed to get with my second job. That's nothing to worry about. God provided in different ways, but it's very difficult to get it done. It's a challenge with a big family also and with young children. It's helpful for me to think about these things right now. And I hope that it will be helpful for you as you're preparing for the new year and how your year might have went and how you might prioritize your time rather than have urgencies bully you. Some things just have to be given priority, and you can forgive yourself that you didn't get other things done sometimes because these things were too important and they required your time. Sometimes that you made a point to make time for things that aren't exactly urgent, but you've been needing to get to them again and again, and there are significant issues about not getting them done. I'd like to share with you this illustration from the booklet Tyranny of the Urgent by Charles E. Hummel. It's a little bit of a long quote, but I think you'll benefit from it as I did, so thank you ahead for listening. He writes this. Before we consider basic principles in the stewardship of time, let us note a parallel between spending hours and dollars. Modern advertisers budget millions of dollars to persuade us that we have needs their products are designed to meet. And store managers have a canny knack for arranging items to attract our attention on the way in or out. I think Mr. Renner, your background probably knows a lot about impulse items, right? which sometimes we parents avoid. Not only when our children are with us. As a result, he continues, as a result, we sometimes impulsively spend money for products we don't really need and didn't intend to buy. For me, he says, for me, hardware stores have a strong attraction. Now, this is where I start to go, but I know some of you are like, oh, yeah, tell me about the hardware store. but it's a good illustration, so I'll try to stay awake. I can get the idea. He says, I am fascinated by the variety of tools and gadgets. Suppose that today I need a new electronic drill for important home project and remember a special cash and carry price of $17.90. I put $20 in my wallet and head for the hardware store. But just inside the door, I spot a set of five unusual screwdrivers for $3.95 and purchase them. Several counters farther on have a new kind of wrench catches my eye, and I spend another $6.90. When at last I reach the electric drills, I discover that I no longer have enough money to buy what I came for. Many of us who resist spending our money this way are not equally careful with our time. We spend hours on the impulse of unexpected opportunity or demand. Then we complain that our time flies away, leaving some important tasks unfinished. I think that's a really helpful illustration if you take nothing else away with you. We got to be careful about impulse items on the way, using our time the way we thought we would, and then impulse things come up to demand our time, and Boy, I thought I had plenty of time. Next thing I know, I got no time left at the end of the week. Can you relate to that? I can relate to that. Paul commands Christians to walk carefully as wise men who understand that time is ticking away, as well as how God wants them to best use the little time that is remaining. I give that to you as the main idea of our text. Paul commands Christians to walk carefully as wise men who understand that time is ticking away, as well as how God wants them to best use the little time that is remaining. Redeem the time, Paul says. You see the same thing in the parallel text in Colossians chapter 3. Redeem the time. I remind you of what we looked at before. That word redeem means buy back. Buy it back. Invest in what it's going to take to get some of that time to work with again. Matthew Henry speaks of the word literally buying the opportunity. The Greek is buying the opportunity. Buy your opportunity. It costs, right? Things that our value will cost something. We redeem our time by choosing to pay the cost or the price of other things we might like to do that we are going to choose not to do for the sake of what is more value. We're going to save up our time just like we save up our money to buy time we need. That if we don't budget for it, we won't have the money to buy. Matthew Henry points out again that it's a metaphor. Buying the opportunity, redeeming the time, comes from a metaphor from merchants, traders who diligently observe and improve the seasons for merchandise and trade. Redeem the time, buy the time, recognize when the right seasons are, the selling seasons. I mean, we know right now this season, the merchants know how to plan for the time and maximize the season, right, for selling. In fact, the Greek word for time could be appointed or season. In fact, the old Geneva Bible translates it redeeming ye season, redeeming ye season. You know, so often the way to redeem our time and to make time for important things is to recognize this is a season of life. Fernanda and I will often talk about how we're not always going to struggle to get sleep. You know, when we're in our 70s, we'll sleep. That's my joke. She's looking nervous again. No, but, you know, the little guys are eventually going to learn how to sleep better. It's going to get better. It's not always going to be late. This is a season, but it's a season that we can just decide is worth it. Right? As we say often, people say children are a lot of work. Indeed, they're a lot of work, and they're also a lot of blessing. And as we said recently, things that are important, you spend a lot of time on or spend a lot of money on. Things that are not important, you don't give much time to, you don't give much money to. They're valuable. They're worth the time. And so you understand you're in certain seasons of life. And one thing I've been thinking about more, talking with Fernanda about, is, you know, we have to recognize we're early in our marriage. And so I need to recognize more and more that we're still in a season where I need to really think about how we can get to know each other better and spend more time and make time that feels almost impossible to make sometimes, but we just do. I'll share more about that in a moment with you. We need to have proper balance, of course. We need to have an appropriate amount of time for work, an appropriate amount of time for play, for the short term, for the long term. We need to recognize the right season of scheduling, and frankly, the more we do that, the more it sets up the right season to be able to respond with spontaneity. That can be really fun. I'll tell you about something we did this week like that. And you need the wisdom to know the difference and what is the actual season you're in at the moment. These things come mostly with making time for prayer, discerning the Lord's will, seeking His guidance in His providential direction of your life. I want to share with you some nuggets from this Tyranny of the Urgent booklet in no particular order, other than mainly the order in which they are in the book, and I wrote them down. Charles Hummel, The Tyranny of the Urgent, he writes this, first of all, beware. Okay, you ready for this? Are you ready for this? I think in certain churches somebody might walk out when I say this. Got your attention? He says, beware of the tyranny of the telephone. When do you think he wrote this booklet? 1967. 1967. I won't bother you youngsters with the very limited version of a telephone then. Had these things called cords, dials, circles. Yeah, I don't think there was voicemail or answer machines. I don't think there was any call waiting, none of that stuff, right? You know? And yet, the phone rings and you feel like you always got to drop everything. Beware of the tyranny of the telephone. It's hard to get anything done, right? Especially if you're trying to write something, research something. You've got to be able to focus. You wrote that in 1967. I think that's important today in our day of where our phones are now. They're practically strapped to our brains, right? You know? I'm not saying that they're inherently evil, but boy, is it a challenge not to be have the tyranny of the urgent take over our lives, right? I mean, as you are often at restaurants, I know the Mr. Renner's often complain. He'll see guys and girls on dates, and they're not talking. They're just constantly on their phones. They don't know how to just, like, put the phone in their pocket, turn it on silence, turn the thing off. No! I'll die! Right? You know? No notifications. The world can wait. Right? I thought about it a lot. Like, I'm in that phase of, I know many of you are, but like my younger years, I tell my kids, we didn't have cell phones. What? You know, I told my son the other day, we didn't have computers. We didn't have, well, we had computers. We didn't have websites or email and all. What? Yeah. I said, we went out and played. He goes, why go out and play? Yeah, you're right. You do. But, you know, it's such a challenge on our attention and time. It's so hard to focus. I've turned off. I finally did this just to try to get work done. It's so hard to get work done writing all the time for two jobs when your phone is constantly going off with a notification. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to know this and that of all these. They all want your every application. Can we have notifications? No, I do not want a notification. I'll check in when I want to know. I turned off the notifications for almost all my applications. My family knows if you really need to reach me, call me. Or send me a text to the regular texting. But, you know, if you're wondering why I didn't respond to WhatsApps, because I don't get the notifications. Because I can't get anything done. It's, you know, it's, they're valuable. So I said, call me if you need to. And if sometimes I turn my cell phone off. How did I do that? You know what? My brain did not explode. And you know what? My office did not implode. The authorities did not come banging on my door to take me to jail because I turned my cell phone off, you know. But I turned my notifications off, and I'm telling you, it is helping. It's not helping me perfectly because sometimes, but it helps me not get on constantly. Then you're always responding to something, and you can't stay getting anything done. And by turning off most notifications on my smartphone, more and more I'm finding it makes me act less like a dummy with my time. Here's another thing that he shares, Charles Hummel in Tyranny of the Urgent. Work expands to fill all the available time. There's never a problem with running out of something to do, right? You think you have more time and the work will just like gas, like smoke. It'll find a way to fill it all on you. You can work yourself to death. There's never going to be something you don't need to do. He says this, when we stop long enough to think about it, we realize that our dilemma goes deeper than shortage of time. It is basically a problem of priorities. You do what you want to do. You spend time with what you choose to spend time on, or not. It ultimately comes down to when you and I say, I don't have enough time. Yeah, we have busy with lots of demands in our lives, but the reality is, what do we prioritize? An experienced factory manager once said to me, he writes, an experienced factory manager, your greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd out the important. You want to manage a factory well? Your greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd out the important things. If you're always putting out fires, you're not really building anything, right? He says this, we live in constant tension between the urgent and the important. And that's something I want to really have you think about. There's always this tension between what is urgent and what is important. Now, it doesn't mean there's always a dichotomy there. I'm hungry right now, and I do need to eat today, you know, but you can usually go for a while if you got to get something done. He goes on to share from a book called Jesus in the Discipline and Culture of the Spiritual Life, written by A.E. Whitman, who observes this about Jesus. Here in this man, Jesus, is adequate purpose. Inward rest that gives an air of leisure to his crowded life. So many demands on Jesus' life. And yet he never seemed like he was crazy busy. He had to get alone. He had to get time with the Father. He had to get up early to get that time. But he always had an air of leisure, even though he was always involved in his Father's work and people were always demanding his time. That's what where we want to get. Even when we're busy, we have an air of leisure because the tyranny of the urgent isn't demanding and controlling us. We know how to say no. We know how to let go. We know how to focus on what our main purpose is. Just like Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And he said at the end, I did what you sent me to do. Lots of things I didn't do. I didn't heal everyone. I didn't preach to everyone. I set up the kingdom to go and do that more. But I did what I was supposed to do. And that's what we want to be able to say. I did what I was supposed to do. I fought the good fight. I finished the race, right? And so you have to cast off the things that so easily beset you in that race, Hebrews 12. He goes on to say this, back to not the man he was quoting, but Charles Hummel himself in Tyranny of the Urgent. The secret of Jesus' ministry, we discover a clue in Mark's report of what happened after the very busy day of teaching and healing, which we first noted. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1:35. He talks about what is the solution to this tyranny of the urgent. He offers a number of things, but the main thing he keeps hitting home is time with God in prayer. Prioritizing dedicated time where you are waiting on, not just talking to the Lord, waiting on the Lord and listening to him. Just sitting in his presence. He says Jesus prayerfully waited for his Father's instructions. Jesus had no divinely drawn blueprint or schedule. He discerned the Father's will day by day in a life of prayer. Because of this, he was able to resist the urgent demands of others and do what was really important for his mission. Jesus' prayerful waiting for the Father's instructions freed him from the tyranny of the urgent. It gave him a sense of direction, set a steady pace, and at the end of his earthly ministry, gave him the satisfaction that he had completed the work God had assigned him. Two more things to share with you from him. He writes this. You can think of the illustration earlier. Unlike money, time comes to all of us in equal amounts. In fact, everyone has all the time there is, 24 hours a day. But what an astonishing variety in our use of that time and the results of our choices. To a large extent, this is due to wide differences in our talents, energy, and opportunities. But in the last analysis, how we use our time depends on our goals. We make the hours count for what we think is important. Lastly, he writes this. People in business recognize the need to evaluate the present and plan for the future. Former president of DuPont said, 1 minute spent in planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. That adds up. I think you could almost say almost like compounding interest. 1 minute spent in planning saves 3 or 4 minutes in execution. You know, I recognize generally a distaste for meetings and planning. Most people hate it. Most people just want to be busy. And they don't recognize that planning is extremely important to actually whatever we're doing busy to be more effective and maximize things. There's a real resistance for meeting and having plans and thinking through things. I just wonder, well, a lot of times labor says, I tried to tell you. We've got to think ahead. We've got to think through ideas. We've got to think through the possibilities. Now, that can be done ad infinitum, ad nauseum. And I have the habit of doing that to people. On the other hand, I often find myself thinking, why wouldn't they just have a little energy and time to think it through and we could have avoided this or maximized that opportunity that's gone? It makes me think of what Dr. Richard Bacon said to me once when we visited him in Texas. He says sometimes, and this is a paraphrase, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something like this. Sometimes taking the time to sit down and sharpen your axe enables you to cut a lot more trees down a lot faster. It's true, isn't it? Sometimes we just waste so much time. Oh, man, this is taking forever. I don't feel like I have time to sit down and sharpen my axe. I don't have time to sharpen my pencil, right? I don't have time to get this or that. But you know what? Until you spend the time to figure it out and improve the situation, improve your tool, make it work better, you're actually killing and wasting so much time of inefficiency, though you feel busy, and thus you must be important because you're busy. Don't we all say, oh, I'm so busy. That's the new thing. Like, I'm so busy. I'm so important because I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything. Man, wouldn't it be great to be people who have time? Time to be able, yeah, I could make some time for you this week. Sit down for some coffee. Wouldn't it be nice for our neighbors to find that we actually make time for them? I'm going to share a few examples, but something comes to mind. I'll never forget. I might have shared this before. My systematic professor in seminary said, you know, I just got a call today from someone. And if I mentioned his name, you'd be impressed. He's a big name. Big names are very busy. They usually don't call others and they don't take calls. Somebody, I assume, in the theological seminary world. He said, you know, he called me today just to say hi. Just to see how I was doing. And my professor was blown away by that. And I thought to myself how often I've wanted to call certain friends just to say hi. I'm thinking of them. Wouldn't that be neat to have someone call you? I'm just calling because I was thinking about you. Just wanted to say hi. Some of our closest friends, you know. The friends who will be there for you even though you haven't done it, right? But, you know, I hate to say, often when I'm calling someone, it's because I need something. Oh, it's advice usually, or it's guidance, but it's not because I just wanted to say hi. It's an excuse to say hi, and I often say that. Hey, it's an excuse to get together. Often they're so busy, I almost need something like this to get them to take my call. You know, but wouldn't it be nice if we just made a point to say, I'm going to call 5 friends in the next month just to say hi. That's it. And this is why we like to have porches in older America, right? Where I'm from, there's big porches on the front of our houses. And you know what people like to do? They like to walk by at the end of the night and stop by and say hi. Now I'm more an old curmudgeon. What are you doing? Get off my lawn. You know, what are you doing? Just kind of, you know, but just having time for one another is an incredible commodity if we make a point to prioritize our lives and recognize when priorities come to us. Spend time meditating on Psalm 89:47 to motivate you. Remember how short my time is. Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. Psalm 90:10-12. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Those two thoughts are just the reality of we don't have much time. And, you know, we often say, where did the time go? What did I do with the time? Why didn't I ever do this and those things I've always saying I need to get to? Why didn't I prioritize them? Because of the tyranny of the urgent with my time. Psalm 32, with those last two psalms in view. If you knew that you were going to die on Friday, what would you do with your time Monday through Thursday this week? Psalm 32:6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. The godly make time to be with God while there's time to be with God. May that be that describes us. Otherwise, when the tyranny of the urgent comes all the time, we feel like, where is God? And I don't understand. And what's it going to be? Well, it's because we never made time to be with God, so we don't know how to handle these things. He's been there all the time. Our time is in his hands. From the book, there's a little booklet from Free Grace Broadcasters, Spring 2020. Maybe some of you have gotten it. I know some of you receive it. It's called Redeem the Time. And wouldn't you know, I received it just before or not long after I preached Redeem Your Time at this time. And I'm like, oh, I think I intended to actually read through it before the sermon. I didn't get through it all. And I said, you know what? I'm remembering that booklet. I have been meaning to get back to it and finish it. And frankly, the tyranny of the urgent and dumb distractions have kept me from doing it. So I went to it today, and I plan on finishing it this week for devotions. I feel comfortable I can say that and pull it off. Ask me. Give me some accountability. Just to determine how I use my time. It doesn't really require that much time. But what I would like to do is share some excerpts for you from it that I have read already. Just a few things. So from the Redeem the Time booklet, first of all, Octavius Winslow says this: you rob God when your time is not consecrated to his glory. Just like if you don't tithe, you're robbing God, right? R.C. Sproul wrote an article on that. We're supposed to be giving of our times, treasures, and talents, and our time is one of the most important things you can give to the Lord. By the way, here you are tonight prioritizing your time for what's important. Many urgent things could have been an easy excuse to stay away, as it is for many. I praise the Lord you've prioritized this time. I trust he's going to bless you for it. But you rob God when your time is not consecrated to his glory. I would argue how we spend the Sabbath day from morning to evening is something we should consider with that quote. We rob God of his time when we don't consecrate the Sabbath day. Jonathan Edwards in the booklet, speaking of James 4:14, our lives is, you know, like a vapor, like a fading flower. He says, Jonathan Edwards, how much more would many prize their time if they knew that they had but a few months or a few days more to live? Thomas Manton. We have a great deal of work to do, but little time. Therefore, we should redeem it from pleasure and rather encroach upon our recreation to spend it in matters that most concern us. Now, our catechism teaches, especially what's required related to not committing murder, not, you know, those kinds of things, an important amount of play is important. Some time in recreation, and we've actually had sermons on that. That's important. But I think in our American culture, and maybe not just America, pleasure and play consumes almost all our time. I mean, there's a reason the entertainment industry is huge. And by the way, I thought it was interesting. I talked with the cell phone people when we switched recently. I said, how's it been through COVID? Oh, just as busy, if not more. People have to have their phones. He says, Thomas Manton, all complain of the shortness of time, and yet everyone hath more time than he useth well. Now, this is not to guilt trip us and make us bury our heads in the sand. In fact, Charles Hummel, who wrote Tyranny of the Urgent. He cautions, don't try to change everything overnight. You know, it's got to be like turning a ship. You know, you can't just change everything overnight. You're going to sink. Try a thing or two and improve it. And then build from there. So, and it's, you know, we are also finite beings. We're not God. We're not in control of everything. You know, if somebody gets hit by a car, that's urgent. It's also important, of course. We drop everything, our entire week changes, right? I mean, it's not like we always have the ability to control all the factors that would help us maximize our time. But that's why we want to work hard at it to do better with the time otherwise. Because what does Paul say? The days are evil. There's always going to be a demand on our time. There's always going to be a satanic, urgent tyranny over our time. That's why we have to try to do our best with our time. We don't want to feel like if we don't do it perfect, then why bother? No, we'll do better. And better is always better. Better builds to more. More control over your own life. On Ephesians 5:16, Well, forgive me, I forgot to cite who said it. I'll give it to you later. On Ephesians 5:16, one of these folks says, he says you must go out of your way to seek opportunities. Paul is saying, our text tonight, you must go out of your way to seek opportunities. Richard Baxter, the master there that robs the men of their time, the greatest master, I have a new computer tool that often has a mind of its own. He's talking about all the main robbers of your time. And then he says, here's the master. Oh, I know it is the master thief. It changed it to there on me. Sorry. That's embarrassing. I do look through it. I'm sorry. Dare I say, I only had so much time to edit today. Sorry. Okay. The master thief. This is his quote. Richard Baxter, the master thief that robs men of their time is an unsanctified, ungodly heart. Because we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. We spend our time the way we want to spend it. And so when we prioritize the use of the time, it'll be by the Lord sanctifying our heart and giving us holy, sanctified priorities. A real desire to be with Him more than anything else we could be with. What did we see this morning on Psalm 73, right? There's nobody I'd rather be with than you, God, in heaven and earth. Richard Baxter says, that was Richard Baxter. Lastly, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It must be an ordered life. It must be a disciplined life. God, of course, 1 Corinthians 14 is a God of order, and we must do things decently in order as we would follow His ways. It must be an ordered life. It must be a disciplined life. You and I, if the Lord will sanctify our hearts, that we'd spend our time better, are going to have to confess before the Lord and one another, especially to ourselves, and say, Lord, I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my family's time. I'm wasting my church's time. I'm wasting my company's time. The truth is, Lord, I need you to sanctify my heart more because I am not ordering my life. I am not disciplining myself like I could. I am wasting so much time. And I spend so much time talking about it, not doing anything about it. It is important to make moments or they will pass you by. I read a long time ago in a business journal, one manager said something like this. The most important work and life lesson that she has learned is that most things can wait. Now, that is a way to learn how to manage and survive in management. Most things can wait. I'll get back to it tomorrow. The world's not going to explode. No, you know, it doesn't mean we don't have to stay late and cover things, but most things can wait. God is in control. So these kinds of things have happened to me recently or can be happening. I'm hoping they will happen. Share with you a little bit of my personal list of things I've been thinking about, playing with this, thinking about the tyranny of the urgent and trying to do things differently, or I'm planning ahead of some things I want to do as I think about what matters most, what's most important, and how to manage and structure my time. To be handle the urgent things we got to deal with in life, but how to set them up. Here's another thing you've probably seen on many a secretary's desk. Your lack of planning does not constitute my emergency. Right? Okay, I can see that you've been there in the workplace, right? People are coming all frantic because they wouldn't plan and they didn't listen, and now they have an emergency. I'm sorry, your emergency is not my emergency because you couldn't be bothered to plan. Doesn't mean we don't want to help people out. But anyways, I share those kinds of things. I want to encourage you to be minimizing urgency and emergencies by thinking about how to dedicate time to things that matter most, that will always stay on the back burner, simmering and never get fully cooked because you never bring them up front to boil. That's what we got to really be concerned about. So here's a few things I've been working on or thinking to work on. And I only share them as things to try to give you ideas. Hopefully it'll jog some things in your own thinking about what you want to work on for your lives. I encourage you to talk about that with one another and seek accountability and support. So last week, my wife says to me, go clean the dishes. No, just kidding. Let's make sure you're still listening. She says, Make sure she's listening. Just joking. Last week, my wife says to us, hey, can we go up to the mountains today? My impulse was to say, I can't go to the mountains. Are you crazy? Do you know how behind on work I am? I've been behind on work all year. I'm never catching up. It's making me crazy. I'm always working late over the weekend. I never feel rested. And then I said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I think we could do that. And it was one of the few times where all the family is actually able to do it. So as the Van Locals usually do, we just decided to prioritize some spontaneous time. And we got like 2 hours with the snow, you know, sort of, you know. And it's never when there's good snow. As I said this morning, just enough snow to throw ice balls, not really snowballs at each other. Just enough to make an ice man, not really a snowman. Boy, that was a cute snowman, though. You got to see the pictures. Olivia is like a just amazing ice maker. And it was just enough of a vein of snow between a few trees and mostly acorns and fallen leaves. I'm forgetting the name of the tree with acorns. And pin oak trees, right? Just enough snow where Abraham can kind of sort of stay on it enough to go a couple of feet, you know. And we had fun, you know. And we go to Cuyamaca, play around throwing the rocks at the water, not at the ducks. We said hi to ducks, throw the rocks in the water, and walk on the really scary, flimsy, floaty thing that's whatever you call it, the dock, right? You know. And then we get over to Julian, and I think the waitress was scared when she saw our numbers. But we figured out how to fit in, and we ate too much food and had fun with delicious cider. And it's so fun, by the way, to make moments like this and see my wife encounter a new American thing. It's the best. Like when she likes something, oh, okay. When she really likes something, she can't. You know, then if she really likes it, but it was fun. And Gabriel, of course, you never have to make him eat the sweets or drink the sweets. He was loving it. We were just having a lot of fun. Drove home. We were tired, but we made a moment. And, you know, as I'm going through that phase of life where kids are getting older, and it's really hard to plan, like, whole family things now. And so I'm learning you got to prioritize a moment when it's there. I do not regret having that moment. That had to be a priority. That was important. The urgency has to wait. Even though it's work hours and pay and all, you know, it'll take care of itself. I don't want to miss that moment. Making a tradition on Monday nights with my 8-year-old in our van during speech and debate class when I'm hiding in the van because I'm too tired to be part of the next part with the parents. And my son comes with me because all the kids are gone to play with. The older kids are in debate class. And we started a tradition of watching a TV show. I introduced him from the 80s that I grew up with. You'll have to ask me later what it was. And, he is into this thing, and we are having fun watching it. And it's like our little tradition now, Monday nights. That's going to be our thing, you know. I was recently asked to do something for the Speech and Debate Club, and I had to say, it was hard for me to say. I had to say, I am willing, but I am not able. And guess what? They're still talking to me. Still give me a holiday card, and they're going to be fine. But it would have killed me, and I wouldn't have done a good job. Allowing holiday time to be a time to spend more with the family while others are not available and they're not waiting on your deadline you're trying to make, right? I'm not saying I'm celebrating certain things, but I decided to just have a little extra family time enjoying the moment. I don't regret it. When the younger boys just want to cuddle, I just cuddle. And I focus on them and I fight that. I got to get up soon. I got to go. They want time just cuddling with daddy. And they're not seeing daddy very much. And I got an opportunity to just not worry about what I'm not getting done, which drives me crazy. I'm a task list doer. I like to cross things off. And that's one reason you keep a list, so you can get back to it. You won't forget, right? And that's so important. Letting our 1-year-old walk me around the house as he drags me by the finger. I'm like, I just was here to get a drink. I'm really supposed to go back. Okay. Grabs my pinky and we walk around the house. You know, come on, Dad. He's pulling me like a dog. You know, those little moments are priceless. You got to prioritize them. They're going to be gone. That kid's going to be walking soon. I've said it for now. I can hardly remember any of the other kids first walking. I know I was there. I'm so busy. It's hard to remember. Just take it in. Eating at the table more instead of working through meals. I had to really work through meals a lot, but I'm trying to say, you know what? I'm going to not just pray before they eat and I go eat while I'm working. I'm just going to be there, important family time, and eat, and I'm just going to trust the Lord for it. Encouraging our 3-year-old to begin to learn to ride his bike this week. I didn't get the privilege of first getting him pedaling. His mommy did, but I got to go out and encourage him later, and it's so fun, and he's so excited. All right, taking my wife, this is, you can keep me accountable, taking my wife to go ice skating for the first time she's ever done it at the Hotel Del Coronado on the beach. How cool is that? I've wanted to do that for years. Why haven't I ever done it? I'm an excellent ice skater, by the way. I grew up ice skating in Western New York. I was a skate guard in college, and I've always wanted to do that. Why haven't I done it? Tyranny of the urgent. Just never get around to it. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to teach you how to skate. Here's something I've been meaning to do, and I'm ashamed to say it, but this is the kind of thing why we need to prioritize time. I need to call those who are homebound. It's unbelievable how I think I'm going to do it, and the next thing I know, another week's gone by. How did that happen? Because I can't seem to stop getting things in order. I can't seem to make time. That's just a matter of making time and letting other things wait. Related to that, visiting several neighbors, we've learned that there's 3 or 4 neighbors in our neighborhood this week who have lost family members. And it's time for me to be a good neighbor and visit them with a sympathy card and some cookies. I don't know when I'm going to do that. I'll tell you, I'm just going to do it. I've already got the sympathy cards on the desk. I'm just going to prioritize it. I'm not going to miss that moment. And I'm saying these things out of conviction of how I want to do better, not any kind of thing, look at me. These are things I'm going to try to do better by prioritizing time. Here's another way. I'm going to get to the doctors proactively this week, and I'm going to prioritize daily exercise breaks and more deliberate resting and recreation with myself and family. Or at some point, I'll be visiting the doctor for very urgent reasons, won't I? You can either treat it priority now and or let the tyranny of the urgent keep it from happening. And then, oh, yeah, you're going to have some urgent doctor times. More devotional time. And this is really what he's urging the most. Prioritize devotional time. Structured and planned mornings to allow more time in the afternoon and less urgency tyrannizing my nights and weekends. That's hard because I'm not getting a lot of sleep. And you feel like you just want to get a little bit of extra sleep in the morning. Then the next thing you know, the day just isn't the same. I'm going to make more time in focused prayer and using books that help me to pray. Lastly, more time preparing for bed in prayer. Rather than just dropping in at the last moment and letting the white noise potentially help me and often distract me. But you just feel like you've got so little time to sleep and you just got to drop in bed and you're exhausted. I'm going to spend time falling asleep. If I need help falling asleep, reading my Bible more, devotions, memorizing things, memorizing myself to sleep. Like on the Sabbath, you know, I'm trying to be careful more and more things as you keep growing on the Sabbath. That I'm trying to really be careful about what I might let myself look at while I'm rocking a kid, listen to, make sure it's always a devotion, make sure it's always a resource. There are so many good things on your smartphone. And it is so nice. It's so much better, which is especially important for a minister because you don't really get to rest a lot on the Sabbath. I want to try that more in the evenings. Now, these are not New Year's resolutions. In my opinion, that's a recipe for failure. But these are considerations and conclusions about how to prioritize time for what is important and to console me that I'm not wasting time through those exhausting, consuming planning meetings and all the follow-up work that has to come from it to get really important things done that no one sees. And it really isn't always obvious why it's important. And it just takes so much time away from what your main things usually should be and you enjoy the most. But I'm consoling myself that it's all right. Things that are important have to take time away from things that are urgent. Things that are important take time. You lay a foundation. A foundation, when you lay a foundation, it's not really exciting, is it? It's not really beautiful. Most people don't come by, like, Lord willing, if they start to build these apartments, most people are not going to come by like, wow, take a look at that cement slab. Oh, nice. Look at the bar they put in the cement. Nice. They're going to later. Wow, look at the door frames. Look at the organization of the plants, right? But if you don't have that foundation laid properly with the proper kind of time, it'll all wash away. All the ornate things, all the beautiful things that everybody thinks are exciting, it'll all wash away without the right foundation. That just takes time to lay. And you got to do it right. As Christ says, build your house on the rock, not on the sand. Beloved, recognize what time it is in your lives, what times you are in, and make the most of them. And that doesn't mean get busy necessarily. Often it might mean stop being so busy. That's really most of the point of it. Don't let those times pass away that you could make the most of. Don't miss what could be an amazing time if you took the time to plan, prepare, look, and pray for it. And protect it with your calendar. As you enter the new year next week, I thought these nuggets would be helpful to pass on to you for your consideration as I'm mulling on them now. Thank you for your time. Happy New Year. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And with that, now go and redeem your seasons. And that's the message for you this evening. Redeem your seasons. We're all in different seasons of life in certain ways, but they're your seasons. Make the most of them. Prioritize what's important. Get proper balance. Go redeem your seasons for the Lord, for yourselves, for your family, for the church, to reach society, because the day and the days are evil. Let us pray. Lord God, please help us. All of our time is in your hands. All of our time is given to us by your hand. Oh Lord, help us to use it well. Give us wisdom. Help us to have wisdom to recognize which season we're in, and the seasons change. But they are appointed times to make good use of. And we confess, Lord, that we are so easily distracted with play, with work, with ideas, with busyness, often things that are fine, but they aren't the most important. And as we think about those who are the experts in any job or sport or study, they are because they sacrifice their time for what's most important. Lord, let us especially sacrifice our time to be with you, God, who are most important and who we are completely concerned to be spending eternity with. Bless us, O Lord. Thank you for giving us of your time, though you are outside of it. Thank you, Lord, for spending time with us this evening. Thank you for drawing us here to spend time with you and one another. Let us buy our time while it's there to be had, recognizing the seasons and working within them. Sometimes rest, sometimes recreation, sometimes work, sometimes play. But more than anything, always our relationship with you and with one another. And nothing is more important than our time together. Bless us, O Lord, even this evening as we celebrate the birthdays of some and our love for them. Let us value our time we prioritize with them and let them be blessed to see that we do. And let us show the world that Jesus is our Lord by how we use our time with and for you. We pray your blessing on the use of our time wisely and holily. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all your people said, Amen.